Hey, want to encourage you. Let's get our Bibles open. Let's flip to Philippians. If you're on the worship team, you may have heard some of Philippians this morning. If you were in the Sunday school class, you may have heard some of Philippians this morning. But let's read Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. It says this, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." And so we're going to look at some of the scriptures around that piece of scripture, some context around there. But you know, the opening song is joy and rejoice. And how fitting was that with the message that I want to share with you today? Because when we hear that scripture, we hear scripture being read, or we hear even scripture in song as we sing. We're almost singing scripture. Usually it could invoke some happy memories, some happiness, or some joy around that. We could even have memories in that line of thinking about, okay, happy times, joyful times in my life. Well, Christmas is coming up. Christmas morning, unwrapping gifts. For some of us, that's joyful. And for some of us, honestly, that maybe didn't grow up with very much, you're like, there's really no presents. And so maybe it wasn't such a joyful time. I don't know why I went negative with that real quick. But anyways, maybe you have memories of like strolling down the lane, you know, with some, you know, hand in hand for the first time. And there's that really great memory of that time that you had together. Maybe you were surprised on your birthday of the good things that were supposed to happen on your birthday, or they didn't happen. But anyways, we'll figure that out later. But on your birthday was an exciting time. There was a party that you were going to celebrate. Or maybe for some of us like me, I do love warm. I do love sand. I do love the beach and all you can eat and all that kind of stuff. And so those invoke really great memories for me. And so we want that, don't we? We kind of schedule for that. I don't know if you noticed on, you know, this last week, it was a bit of a sail on, and especially for flights, you know, we look, for those of us that live in the north, we're like, we can fly out of here so cheap. I am going somewhere. And so there's this happy emotion of like, woohoo, on the calendar. We've got a date set on stone that we're going to go somewhere where it's going to be nice and warm. And there's this pursuit and there's chasing after those happy thoughts, those happy memories. You want to create those in your calendar. I don't know how busy you are, what you do with your life, but I always look forward. I'm like, okay, in the next 6 months, I know that I've got this thing to look forward to. So I can put my head down and work really hard, put in lots of hours, knowing that there's going to be this point. Because if it's not there, if I look down the road and there's 6 months down the road and there's nothing, I'm like, this is tough, man. Where did all my joy go? I'm not even happy anymore. So we get these different experiences through this emotion of kind of happiness and joy. But what happens, or what depends on our happiness of these things that we would invest in? We think that, okay, if those happen, then I'll find this happiness. Or if I spend money on a big screen TV, I don't know why I really think one day, you know, just the whole wall, you know, collecting things in your house. You know, as you get the house gets bigger, you realize you need more things. And I remember when we moved here from Whitehorse a lot of years ago, you know, we the biggest U-Haul you could rent, our stuff wouldn't even fit in there. I said, how do we own, man? Like, what is in this truck? And so we had to, like, do two trips. But we experience, or we try and fill our lives with these things. There's nothing wrong with a big screen TV and those kinds of things. But if that's where our joy is, at some point the TV, you know, it's not the remote, it blows up or it stops working. Or you leave it outside, it's going to rust. And then all of a sudden it's not as exciting anymore as you're squeak, 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 wherever you're going, right? Whatever's happening in life, when your health goes, right? You know, when you're healthy, it just feels exciting and you can do everything. And when you don't have your health, well, there's not as much excitement. You know, it's harder to get out of bed sometimes and my back hurts. Or, you know, when money comes and goes, like sometimes we're just loaded. Like, oh my gosh, you're just like, the bank's just rolling, you're just super generous. And there's times when it's like, whoa, it's really tough right now, actually. We need to be careful. I experienced that when I grew up. My parents got divorced at 14. And I lived alone with my mom, and so we didn't have a lot. And I think it was like welfare back in the day. I know we don't like to use that terminology today, but it was something like that. And we'd go to the grocery store with a $50 bill. She would say, we got to eat all week, so we got to figure this out. So we go to the till. I remember this just engraved in my mind. You know, beep, beep, things going through, and we're getting close, and oh, it's over, but something's got to come off. Or the happy days where we're like, there's $2 left. You can have a chocolate bar of gum. I'm like, oh. You know, ta-da, you know. Usually get a Kit Kat or something because at least four, you know, you can break it into four. I don't know why I've just promoted Kit Kat. That's terrible. So we have these memories of those good times. But sometimes when it flees, when it disappears, Where do we find happiness and joy again? Because it does come and go, I feel like, in life. And maybe I'm the only one, I guess, maybe feeling this way. And then you're probably thinking, like, okay, where are you going with this message? I feel, like, depressed. And I'm like, this is supposed to be Christmas. This is supposed to be an exciting. Didn't you just read, you know, rejoice in the Lord always? But I want to just look at it in a way that I think sometimes we miss it. Because joy versus happiness, it's different. It's a constant assurance that God loves me. I can find joy in that. And actually, nobody can take that from you. No matter where you live or the money you make or where the experience you're going through or the health problems you have, you actually can still have joy in that. And I know sometimes it's easy to preach, hard to live sometimes. But let me just kind of support that thought for a second. Because I've heard it put this way, that happiness, it depends on happenings, things that are happening in our lives. If things are happening, then we're happy. And when it's not, we don't. But joy depends on Christ and Christ alone. And Christ doesn't change, does he? Because we read scriptures like this, which I love. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. It says, I, the Lord, I don't change. And then we see in the New Testament, in Hebrews 13, 8, it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. So the Lord doesn't change and Jesus doesn't change. He's the same. And he loves you. And we can find confidence and joy in that. Now, I love the illustrations of things like this. So I'll use just this straight stick right here. And so our lives, and typically we see this, especially with different illustrations, and maybe the iceberg illustration, like there's your life, and then there's the rest of your stuff. Or we see illustrations like, that's good, and then when it's bad, we're in this valley. And so we see God kind of introduce in our lives, we accept Jesus into our life, and God's the same. He's just like, he doesn't change. And so when we're doing well, sometimes, and I don't know why, like I'm doing so well, like why do I feel like maybe I don't need as much of Jesus? I feel like I don't need to pray as much or read as much because everything's good, I'm okay. And then when life starts going down, all of a sudden we intersect with what we think Jesus sometimes or God, and we go, oh my gosh, it's heading the wrong way, Lord, where are you? Right? And then when we're down there, we often turn to the conversation, where's the Lord? God's not in this. Where did Jesus go, right? And so our lives keep intersecting with the Lord like that. But I want to say something. I'm really careful. I really want to do this. I want to just chuck this line. I want to just, an old youth pastor me would be like, poo, but I'll just put it down just really gently for a second. Oh, I wanted to. Maybe even Bo Jackson. I apologize. And I would preach something the same as that, hey, when we're doing okay, we really got to just stay focused on the Lord. But then when we're going down, we just need to know that God's still with us and we're going to get over this thing. And I believe in that. But I want to just take it to a different level here. I want to take this thought. If we think that God is kind of like the same, and he's here like this, and then so, well, when I'm happy, I really got to focus on the Lord. So we move the line up in a sense of like, okay, I got to get God, got to get God. And then what it does, though, is that when we're not doing okay, it feels like God's even further away. Or maybe we're going to move that line down a bit. Because when I'm not doing so well, that's really when I need the Lord. So we kind of bring the Lord down. So then when I'm happy, it feels like he's even further away. But that's the wrong perspective of our Lord. That he's in some way that we can kind of manipulate or control him, that kind of capacity, because the Lord's not in a line. He's not just in your low times. He's not just in your high times. He's actually before you were times. He's today times, and he's in the future times. So you've got to get rid of the line. You don't just intersect with the Lord. He's there all the time. Whether we're tuning into him or not, he's there. Whether we're submitting ourselves to him or not, he's there. And so fullness of joy is available to you all the time. There's never a time that you cannot receive and experience the fullness of Christ, no matter where you're at. Or no matter what you just did 30 seconds ago. Oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. Forgive me of that. Fullness of joy. And when you're on fullness of joy, you say, I'm full of joy because Christ is in me. It's not my own happiness or joy. Or we're in the down. Oh, my back, my health, my finances. I can still feel joy. Because if not, then what's the difference between us and a non-Christian, people that don't follow the word? There'd be no difference. There has to be, I'm not saying a benefit like, oh, you got the, you know, the red carpet and the, you know, the VIP ticket and all that kind of stuff because you come to church. No, but following Christ, it should be different. Like I was alone. I was, you know, far from God for first 23 years of my life. Why would I want to change if there wasn't anything, again, not a benefit, but something tangible, something real. Oh, there it is. Yeah, God, joy. It can't be shaken. There it is. I found it. And then when you find something, like you want to celebrate. Look what I found. No, not the box. I mean, woo, I found Jesus. And you want to tell people about what you found. This joy that cannot be bought or, you know, in your head. It's something that Christ gives you. It's there all the time. I love that idea. Let's get back to the book of Philippians because it is just so rich. So when we think about the book of Philippians as a whole, it's just four chapters, really short. Sometimes you just kind of flip over it if you don't take your time. The book of Philippians is Paul's, the writer who wrote this book to the Philippian church. It's like his love letter to them. It's just rich when you read it. It's just like, man, if you want to be encouraged, just flip that book on. You're going to be encouraged. Paul was greatly encouraged by the Philippian, this church. So he wrote, he wanted to write his affections towards them. And so let's listen to what it says, just a couple of them. So Philippians 4, verse 1, it says, therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. So he's just got this intimate relationship with it. It's a joyful experience. His emphasis is on, like, how do we live this joyful Christian life? You know, you've heard it taught, and we experience the Holy Spirit showing up, and then Paul says, let me tell you about a full Christian life, a joyful Christian life. And we would find in these four short chapters, 16 times, joy and rejoicing comes out of this. So as we navigate our lives, then we try and look for joy, not just happiness. We can be greatly encouraged by this life of Paul. And I want to show you so many other reasons. We're going to get there in a second. But I got to share another story because I love stories. It helps me understand the Word of God. Recently, we were down at our district conference in Victoria. We had shared that with you a little bit. Had a great time. And so we spent a couple of days after that on the island because that's where a bunch of our family is. And my mother lives in Port Hardy. Victoria, Port Hardy. That's a drive. And so we got up very early. And we started driving. And about halfway there, I remember just, it's a memory that's burned in my mind now. I can't forget it. About halfway there, and we're driving like any normal human being would, 100 and something. And we'll just leave it at that. And so we're driving. There's some confession right there today. And we're coming around a corner, and all of a sudden, have you ever, you see something, and all of a sudden, life slows down. You're like, whoa, why is there a gigantic tire bouncing across the highway. Like, that's not good. And then I realized, oh, there's a giant cargo van, and the front wheel is off the cargo van. And it is teetering. You know, if the wheel comes off, it's going, and it's hitting the highway. Sparks are shooting the front of the van, shrapnel's blasting everywhere, and that's coming towards me. I'm like, dang, that's not good. And I realized that there's a truck in front of me with a boat behind it, so a trailer and a boat, and that big old tire, somehow it hits that boat and trailer, it gets tied up in there, that the trailer just blows into a million pieces, tires are popped. Now the truck in front of me is pulling the boat that's blowing off the axle and going and sparks and shrapnel's flying off. And so I'm like, oh my gosh, of course the first thing, get on the brakes and I'm pulling over, this cargo van goes right by me and like right into the ditch. The truck in front of me goes flying off into the ditch that way. And we come to a screeching halt, and the kids, I don't even know what the kids were doing. They probably were like, what are we doing slowing down so quickly? They're probably half asleep. And, whoa. Like, my heart, okay, there's my heart. Yeah, it's working again. Yeah, good. Not a nick. Not a piece of shrapnel hit that rental van, praise the Lord, because I was thinking, how am I going to explain this? There was this tire, and then there was this boat. Like, how do you explain that away? And so, yeah, right, you're the idiot, hit the tree, you know, whatever. Like, you can't explain that away. But nothing. And so I could say to that, like, Lord, I had to go see my mom. The Lord had a plan, and well, he protected me in that. And I could agree to that. But what happens if it didn't work out that way? If I got hit, if this, something happened, now I got to take the rental van back or something. Is God in that? Was my day based off of, if I don't get to see my mom, I'm not going to be a happy camper? Or did I head up the highway going, God, your will today, not mine? Because if I would have, if that cargo van was like a second or two sooner, it would have got me for sure. If I was a second or two quicker, the tire would have got me for sure. But God was in that, and I can still have joy no matter what my plans are that day. We've got to be able to come to that place. Because when you leave here today, this is what I hope you're going to do. You're going to go home and have lunch. You're going to go out for lunch. Thank you. You're going to take a nap or play with your kids or do something awesome. You're going to come back tonight in Jesus' name at 7 o'clock for the ministerial Christmas event here. You already have plans. I just planned your day for you. But if life doesn't work out like that, if you go home and something happens or a phone call comes, or you have no idea. You have no idea. Like, we really don't. You planned your day. But whenever the thing that you didn't plan comes, how do you respond? I think we've really got to master that as Christians. We've really got to embrace that. God, you've got a plan today. Slow me down. Whatever's happening, you know, it came my way for a reason. And let me tune into that instead of just my will and not your will be done. So important. So let's think about this letter right here. We think of Paul, you know, one of the great writers of the New Testament. What a solid Christian. You know, grew up in the ways of the world, and he got radically saved and got a new name. And so we think, oh, he's just riding this, you know, milk and honey, you know, beautiful red carpet. Paul's life is just great. And so we see, he would write this letter. You know, I'm thinking, I'm picturing him, honestly, like on a beach, sunny day, wonderful. Oh, praise the Lord, as we just read. Rejoice in the Lord. Oh, it's going to be good. You know where he wrote this book? In prison. What? Like, seriously? Like, I don't know if you've been to prison. Like, I'm not feeling very happy. Although the prison in Whitehorse is very nice. So they got 65-inch TVs, free internet, warm place to stay when it's freezing. I'm being silly, I apologize, but it fills right up. Prison is not a good place. I'm not feeling very joyful at that point. And he writes this book. So when we're in our stuff, in our things, can we still be joyful? Can the words that we speak still be joyful? Can even the thoughts that we have still be joyful in the midst of that? That's a challenge for me, and I hope it challenges you as well. So let's go on to listen to what Paul has to say in this very joyful, prison-like environment. So verse 11 says, I'm not saying this because I am in need. I'm in prison. I got some needs, man. I got to get out of here. For I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. That is such a deep thought. You know, put that on a bumper sticker. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Paul found joy no matter what was given to him. I want to be like that. Christ is like that. Christ is the fullness of joy. Christ is always peaceful. Christ is always joyful. He's never caught off guard. He's never surprised by things. That's the kind of God and the kind of Jesus that I want to be like. Let's continue to read on here. Verse 8. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. Are we willing to seriously give it all up? If it worked out this way, if this is the way the gospel, there's no formula. But like, say the formula was like, you have to give everything. All the things that mean something to you. I don't know what those are. I already shared with you a few of mine. You have to give them all up. Just to know Christ. Would it be worth it? Absolutely, yes. We know the answer, yes. But I want you to feel that when it comes knocking on your door. Verse 12. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Because in this life, it will never be perfect. But we have a guarantee when we get to heaven, it will be perfect. And so we're on this journey from our sinful ways to being perfected to one day being perfect. And so we will never have it. So don't lose heart when it's not there. Verse 13, brothers, I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, because we can't take hold of perfection only until we're, you know, in heaven and with the Lord. But one thing I do, forgetting what's behind me, forgetting all those things, forgetting what people did, forgetting my mistakes, forgetting, and straining towards what I've had. I press on. I take hold of the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I love that idea. We press on. And so how can we find joy? I'm wired a certain way. I was just wrestling through this. I'm just figuring this out. I don't have a complete answer for you. I feel like I'm writing this idea in my head. Quality time is huge on my list. And so I want you to know that. So when I spend time with you, it's because actually I think it is the greatest connection that I have been given. And so why is that? Was it wired in me from birth? Is it a DNA transfer? Is it, or possibly was it learned? This is what I'm wrestling through. Because, again, parents divorced, living on my own, having quality time with somebody that cares for you and loves you meets a need in my heart. And so is that, I'm trying to just figure that out anyway. So quality time, so that kind of meets my need. And so when I get that, I feel like I have joy and I have happiness. And I'm just being completely transparent with you. When there's weeks when I don't have that, I feel like something's missing. But I need to come to the realization that I have Jesus with me all the time. And so I can be happy and full of joy even if I don't get my needs met. I like it when my needs are met, though. Those are good. Let me help you really just kind of shift the gear. Just kind of a last thought here. Missionaries often will go where they're called with their casket, with their coffin. And they'll say, I am called to this place and I will go and there's no turning back. I will burn the ships. I will throw the return ticket away because I know I'm called there. And so this person, I believe, is willing to give up. They're giving up their will. They're giving up their future. They're saying, I feel called to go here no matter what the cost is. And it might cost me my life. And I feel like that kind of fits into this train of thought here that, you know, are we willing to give up and to go wherever God's called us? And I'm not saying everyone's called to the mission field. Don't feel that. There's a mission field here in Terrace. There's a mission field here in this church. You don't have to go very far to find a mission. But are you willing to just sacrifice it all? Are you willing to give it all up? Instead of, again, my needs and my quality time, all my stuff, am I willing to just go and be obedient to Christ? Because I think lots of times when you do that, you actually find what you're looking for. Because I think we feel unsatisfied and unfulfilled when we're always like, I need my things to be met. Versus when you get your eyes off of yourself and you go and do something, you will find joy. I promise you, it's scriptural. Isn't that just a great thought? I love missionaries like that have done that, they've just gone ahead. And so when we look back at the scripture we've been kind of walking through, we think in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 again, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. And I want you to have this. I was kind of hesitant. I wasn't sure if I was going to share it, but let's just share it anyways. As I was wrestling through this message, and Pastor Ben and I were hanging out a week or two ago, I just said, here's what I'm thinking and processing. And so he shared a book with me, and so I did read a small part of it. So I haven't read the whole thing yet, but we're working on it. So C.S. Lewis wrote a book. It's called God in the Dock. And there's this story within that book called Manor Rabbit. And I want to share what I learned in that. And I thought it was super powerful. Is that, again, in life, we're thinking about, like, we're just on this journey. And I love the imagery of like, a mountain. We just live in the north. I just love hiking. I love climbing, rock climbing, whatever you want to do. We just love going up. And so on your way up, sometimes we get to rock faces, and you're like, okay, this is difficult. And I've climbed those rock faces before without a rope in Prince Rupert when I was a kid, like a complete hooligan, you know, and you're like, it's far, and if you fall, you know, there's no rope to save you. And I would preach it like this, so I'd say, like, that was foolish of me to do it like that. But when I get attached to the Lord, I get attached to, and I allow the Holy Spirit, then now I'm attached to a rope, and now I'm attached to places where I can have footholds or attach my rope to, or there's somebody with me in case I fall, he will save me. And I think there's some truth to that. But I what I found in this book was just, it just changed my perspective completely on that. There is truth to that. You should get connected to the source. You should allow the Lord to lead you. You should allow him to be safe. You should connect yourself to him. But I want you to think about this differently. Because when you think about, again, this idea of I'm on a journey, I'm growing, and I'm going this way, good things are happening. And sometimes when things aren't happening, we're going this way. But what happens in the book, though, and it's brilliant. He said, it's not about that journey or that perspective. Because what you didn't realize while you're on the hillside is that you actually were given wings. You don't need a foothold. You don't need a rope. Because God's asked you to soar. He's asked you to fly. He's asked you to give you a new perspective on the thing that you're facing so that you can get above the circumstances and you can see the valleys where it's tough. You can see the high places where God's had you and it's good. But you get a different perspective of everything that you're going through. And isn't that the way the Lord is? So often we get focused on this, the things that we're in or the situation or the timing, and we lose perspective of the bigger picture. And God wants you to have a bigger picture of everything that you're facing. And then when you look there, you can see God's been so faithful over there, wasn't he? Look what he brought me through. And look at this thing that he's faced, that I'm facing today. Look how small it looks way up here. And you can see all those mountains where God's brought you to good places. And again, you get a brand new perspective. Instead of just being stuck on the side of the mountain by yourself thinking, I don't know where I'm going to go from here. You've been given something that is fresh and it's new and it's for you. And I pray that you would receive it this morning. Amen? Amen? Let's just close in prayer. Father, we thank you for the word of God. Thank you for those that have gone before us and really laid their lives down and sacrificed their lives for the sake of the gospel. And I know that they found wholeness and peace and joy and all those kinds of things in you. And so, Father, whatever we're facing today and this week and this year and however things are heading in our lives, would we find fullness in you? That can't be taken from us. You cannot be taken away from us. And so thank you for loving us. Thank you for dying for us. Thank you for pouring into us. Thank you for blessing us. Lord, we want to be a rejoiceful church. We want to be a church that's full of life and full of joy and full of, and I don't want to use the word happiness because I feel like that kind of is fleeting, comes and goes. But help us to have a right perspective about you. Help us to, again, see beyond our circumstances, see above our circumstances. Give us a fresh, fresh view and vision of you and what we're going through. In Jesus' precious name, amen.